right, guys, Noel Nation, we are live. Florida State makes an announcement here at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday following the disappointing game against Notre Dame where it really just, I mean, you know, Michael, it was already a disappointing season. I don't think anybody really expected them to go up there and win that game. But, man, it was probably one of the worst showings of the season. A 52-3 blowout. You go into a bye week this week. You got Charleston Southern coming up after that. There's so much anger and angst amongst this fan base. I think they were really just looking for changes, you know. And we were talking about this before we jumped on. I don't think this is going to change much in the 2024 season. But I think you really had to extend a branch to your fan base and your boosters, your donors, to basically say, like, hey, look, there are going to be changes. Because, you know, when you get to 1-9 and you haven't seen changes all season, people are just scratching their head like, man, what is going on? Are there even going to be changes made amongst this staff? So this is going to be our instant reaction. We don't have a lot of time. This was actually terrible timing for us, but we were able to jump on for a few minutes before I head off to my full-time job. So we did want to bring you guys the news that Florida State has announced the firings of offensive coordinator / O-line coach Alex Atkins. I think that is the first one that, you know, we've been calling for that for a long time. Yep. I think we've been waiting on that one. You know, and I think it's good now, too, because you're going to have some fallout probably in recruiting, but I think you need to go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off now. Then you also get rid of defensive coordinator Adam Fuller and wide receivers coach Ron Dugans. And that's another one that we thought, you know, they should have left him in South Bend, to be honest, just the way things have been going. So, you know, we'll get into some more thoughts as this goes, Michael. But, man, three staff changes made. Both coordinators are now gone. I think this was a move that was necessary, a move that had to be made. And so, you know, give me some initial thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think Mike Norvell walked into their offices today and handed them a pink slip and said, you're fired, right? You know, I think those three roles, just quickly, the quick thoughts are, those are the three roles Florida State fans, including Mike Norvell, have been most frustrated with this season. I mean, you saw during the Notre Dame game, you saw a couple games back against Clemson, you saw against Miami, just Mike Norvell and Adam Fuller, just you could see that Mike Norvell is done. I mean, he's had more vivid visual reactions to Adam Fuller we've seen in the 5-year history of Mike Norvell being here. So you could tell that was done. Obviously the frustration with the wide receivers, they can't get open, they can't get separation. There's been just a terribleness. Keon Coleman telling wide receivers not to come here. That makes complete sense. And then of course, you know, starting at the 2022 year, you start to see regression in the offensive line, and it's only gotten worse. It was covered up by having an all-star Heisman-worthy quarterback in Jordan Travis and a great offense with skill sets last year. And then, of course, this year you've seen the worst of it. So those are the three most prominent positions that have been the most frustrating to Mike Norvell and the Florida State fans. So it makes a lot of sense that if you're going to fire anybody right now, start with those three. And it signals, Jesse, that probably more is coming.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the end of it. I we wanted a lot of in-season coaching changes because you just really wanted to see, like, man, you got to do something. I mean, my last tweet last night after the Notre Dame game was just fire some damn body. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just show that things are going to happen. But really, I think here where you're going to see, there's a debate about in-season coaching changes, right? Like, you still have to field a team. You still have two more games.
Right.
So they're holding on to Randy Shannon. He is going to take over as the basic interim DC. Now, he is actually titled co-DC, so he will take over those responsibilities. Michael, I would be shocked if he is retained at the end of the season. But you got to have somebody to call defense. And I do think when you see a product like this, ultimately the coordinators are responsible for it. And, you know, they are the ones that are ultimately responsible for what happens on both sides of things, other than Mike Norvell. And, you know, we talked about this in the last episode that we did, should FSU fire Mike Norvell? I encourage you guys to go watch that. We talked a lot about that. The thing is, whether we agree that they should or not, and, you know, I'm kind of on the train now where it's getting harder and harder to defend him. I just don't think they're going to because of the price tag that it's going to cost. But I think this is something that we were waiting to see because, you know, as a Seminole booster, you got it as well as I did. There was a series of emails out over the last week or so where they're encouraging people to continue to donate, to renew your season tickets for next year, to help bring this program back to prominence. But, you know, when you continue to lose and then you get blown out by North Carolina, you get blown out by Notre Dame, and then you're asking for people to spend more money because the prices have gone up. Like,
yeah,
that's a really hard sell. So, you know, this is now the time when they're renewing these season tickets, when they're asking these people to renew these booster donations. And so I think you had to make these changes to reinvigorate the fan base, that there will be changes to be made. Right. But yeah, man, I agree. When you get down into the nuts and bolts here, looking at who actually got fired, I think Alex Atkins was one that he just had to go, man. His unit was the poorest offensive line unit probably in the country. I mean, you look at Florida State right now, they, after that last poor performance against Notre Dame, they're averaging 13.3 points a game now, literally 134th in scoring offense out of 134 teams. He had to go. I mean, he is... I know he doesn't call plays, but he is technically your offensive coordinator. You know, he's recruited well over the years, but he hasn't developed anybody. This is, you know, he's been here long enough that this offensive line shouldn't be this bad. That's and right. So you knew that was coming. Now, this was a risk that you were taking because you do have a decent offensive line class. I am a little bit worried about you losing Solomon Thomas, but I was pretty much already worried about you losing him anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like you talked about in a previous episode, the short-term pain versus the long-term gain. And I think this had to be done because the offensive line, man, I mean, the quarterback play is terrible. The wide receiver play is terrible. But it all starts up front. And this offense cannot function with just this unit as a whole. And again, like we said, it's not going to get better in 2024, but at least now you can send the message that, look, this is not acceptable.
That's right.
And you can send the message in recruiting before early signing day that he's not going to be your coach. And this it's going to be different. As far as the wide receivers go, yeah, man, there's no reason for Ron Dugans to have a job. And I do want to say this, like, Ron Dugans is a Seminole. He did good things, you know, for them. So I do appreciate him being there, you know, to the things that he did for this program as a player and all that stuff. But man, you got no commitments in this class.
Yep.
Not only do you have no commitments in this class, but yeah, as someone said, after we lost worried about losing Solomon Thomas. Yeah, man, I think with the you were going to lose some recruits anyway. I think he was one of the ones that was kind of on a flip watch anyway there. But I think you had to get rid of Atkins just because this is the worst unit in college football. Again, you are 134th of 134 teams in scoring offense. Dugans, again, you got Keon Coleman out here telling guys not to come play for Dugans. You have no recruits left in the entire 2025 class. And you have the highest drop rate in college football. It had to happen. As far as Adam Fuller goes, you know, maybe I'm a little surprised about that one. But, I mean, you gave up 52 points. You know, you just look back to last year at the end of the season, 63-3 against Georgia, 52-3 against Notre Dame. I mean, you know, it's not getting any better. And so I do think when you get to the offseason, I'll throw it back to you on this. I do think when you get to the offseason, you're probably still going to see Odell maybe go into retirement. I think you may also see Randy Shannon not be retained. I think you'll see that. So this is probably the first batch. I think you may see something with Tony Tokars. I'm not 100% sure with that. But, man, these quarterbacks are terrible. And so there's no progression. And so I don't know that this is the end of it.
Right.
But I do think this is something that was very much necessary that needed to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand the argument why some people are saying, you know, why Fuller? I think it's twofold. I think one, you know, even when Adam Fuller had an otherworld defense last season and in 2023, when the 2 years that he's had a equitable defense, there were still, apart from that, there are still times in this season where, I mean, it's 3rd and 20.
Yeah.
Have you guys forgot that? 3rd and 20? How about 3rd and 14? How about 3rd and 10? There's a reason why we've taken the 3rd and Kelly and given it to 3rd and Fuller, because they're allowing conversions. Have you forgotten the fact that at the Georgia Tech literally carved up this defense by running a bunch of motion? Remember that? Remember Boston College did the same thing? How about Memphis did the same thing? So while Adam Fuller had otherworld talent last season and simplified the defense, it also had an offense that could score. This year's proven that Adam Fuller going forward is just probably not the guy to be coordinating a power four defense moving forward. He's just not. And you can tell very, very clearly that Mike Mike Norvell was done with him. I think with Ron Dugans, yeah, I mean, he's a Seminole. So, of course, we're always going to love Ron Dugans. He's always a part of the Knoll family. But as far as coaching is concerned, we're separating the two. As far as coaching is concerned, outside of Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, what is there? Andrew Parchment. I mean,
right. And Keon Coleman was developed before you got here.
Thank you. So the only credit I could really give you is Johnny Wilson, because everybody else has not been good. I mean, you had Hakeem Williams, who's one of the best wide receivers to come out in the high school class, and he's been a dud, basically.
Right.
You talk about, Andrew Parchment, who was one of the best wide receivers to come from Kansas, and he regressed under your time here. Micah Pittman regressed under your time here. So again, like, what has he done? I mean, he wasn't even that great at Miami when he was there either. So again, it's just like, this makes total sense. And then, of course, Alex Atkins, we've talked about it. We've talked about this all season. We talked about it last season. There's been nothing but regression. Yes, you got a good offensive line recruiting class that you're probably going to lose. But, man, it was not worth keeping him with those offensive linemen, because
right.
you haven't seen proof that he can actually coach an offensive line that can actually do what it's supposed to do. There's been nothing but regression. It's telling, Jesse, and I'll throw this back to you, when the offensive line of 2020 and 2021 were far and away better.
Yeah.
Then the offensive line of 2022, 2023, and especially 2024.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about Alex Atkins, I mean, one of the low points last night in that Notre Dame game was Notre Dame had already put in their backups, and they got a sack where their backup defensive end blew right through Darius Correct. Washington, who was quote-unquote your All-American left tackle. And it's just not good enough, man. And no. I think when you do look at Atkins, like, the offensive line had gotten – better since he took over, but when he assumed the OC role, really that's where he started to kind of see some of that regression happen. Yeah. So it's like maybe his sole focus should have been as the offensive line only. But the problem with it is, with him having that OC tab on his on his bio, there is he was making $1.3 million that's a year. Right. You're not going to pay $1.37 million for a bad offensive line coach. You're just not going to do it.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to see who they get going forward. But again, like, I think these are things that had to happen because, man, there's just so much angst and animosity among the fan base because changes had not been made. Although I will say that I do think this was probably a good time to make it. I know a lot of people think that, you know, it's too late. It should have happened sooner. But, you know, again, man, there's just not a lot of advantage of firing people in season when you still have to play games and you can't go out and hire people.
Right.
So I think now that you enter the bye week with only two games left, everything that you can possibly accomplish is out the window. There's no bowl or anything like that. You have a bye week, you have Charleston Southern, and you have Florida to wrap up the season. Now is a good time to get it done. You get it done before signing day. This way you can already kind of start getting feelers out there for the next 3 weeks. So that's that right. way when the clock strikes zero on the regular season, you can go ahead and start making these offers, doing these interviews, getting these other coaches ready to get put in place here in Tallahassee so they can get to work, hopefully bringing in some guys with them before that early signing day period hits. Maybe they can flip some guys that they've recruited. You know, we'll have to get together a hot board for who we think maybe they're going to go get. I haven't really, you know, obviously we've expected this to be coming. And again, to touch on some of the people who the comments we've seen from the guys that are just joining, from those of you just joining, this is probably not going to be it. No. I mean, I know some people were like, why is Randy being retained? Well, someone's got to call the defense. I mean, you can't just have nobody calling the defense. And he does have defensive coordinator experience. So again, I think after the season is over, you're going to see more firings. You'll see probably Odell going to retirement. You'll probably see Randy Shannon not be retained. You'll probably see Chris Thompson or Tony Tokars or other guys like that will probably not be retained as well. So I think it is going to come later in the season. I think after that's done, you'll see more moves made. But again, like we said, man, you're asking boosters to renew their season tickets. You're asking them to renew these donations. And there's just so much anger and angst, and people have lost so much confidence in this coaching staff, in Mike Norvell, in this program, that I think changes had to be made. I don't know if there was pressure. I'm sure there was pressure from the administration to be like, dude, you have got to do something. So we'll have to get together a list of names of who we want to look at going forward. I know the one that a lot of people want, a lot of people that have been, people have looked at the offensive coordinator position is you're looking at the guy from UNLV with the go-go offense. I know that is like the new offense that everybody wants. I believe I'll have to look into this, that there is a connection between him and Mike Norvell. So I think that would be someone that you're going to look at there. I think that would be a good get. And coming from UNLV, I think that's someone that you can get. We stated in that last episode where I feel like Mike Norvell needs to give up play calling. So you want someone else, a real OC to come in who can do the play calling, because I think right now with so many fires to put out, Mike Norvell needs to be able to put his focus on all aspects of this program. We know he does that already. We know you'll see him, you know, overwatching parts of practice with the secondary, the linebackers, the defensive tackles, and all that type of stuff. That also makes it hard to put together an offense every week, especially when you don't have a dedicated offensive coordinator. So I think that's a good move there. As far as defensive coordinator, I really don't have any names in the hat yet, because honestly, I wasn't sure that they were going to fire Adam Fuller. So we'll have to go look that up. You know, hey, man, I mean, Will Muschamp ain't doing nothing to Georgia. He's just an analyst.
Right.
So like,
he's
been good there. So we'll see, man, some of the names that come out real quick. I just want to read you guys the statement from Mike Norvell that was released with the announcement of these firings. He says, "I appreciate the work these three men have provided over the last 5 years with me at Florida State. They are all great men with families who have also poured into the program. We have many great moments. We've had many great moments together here, and I have never doubted their passion for our players and for Florida State. Unfortunately, we have not upheld the Florida State standard with our results on the field this season. I did not make any of these decisions lightly, but I felt changes needed to be made to elevate our program back to where we all desire it to be." So, again, man, I definitely think Mike Norvell, you know, we've talked about this, and I'll throw it back to you, but we've talked about this for the last little bit, right? Mike Norvell, really, I know people are getting pissed off about that coach speak, myself and you included, where it's like every game, I don't even watch the post-game interviews anymore because it just doesn't matter. He's not saying anything of substance. But I think the important thing was you could tell he was getting frustrated. You could tell he was getting mad and fed up, and that he knows this is not the standard of the job he accepted. He knows that he's going to be coaching for his job if he doesn't make some changes. And so I think a lot of people were nervous that not enough changes were going to be made. I know a lot of people think this is not enough changes, but again, I think this is just going to be your first batch. But again, I think this sends a clear message that this is not acceptable and things are going to change going forward, you know, because I think he did say after like the Notre Dame game that every single moment he thinks about how he can fix this program. Yep. So, and I think he knows he has to, because I think he knows that seat is getting warm. And I mean, it's amazing that we're here after a 13-1 season in the conference championship. But, you know, again, I mean, these are changes that just simply had to be made.
Well, you're not going to fire Mike Norvell. That's 64 million reasons why you can't fire Mike Norvell unless somebody just donated that. And so, yeah, he absolutely has to, you know, for lack of a better term, put some lambs for slaughter. Like, he has to have some sacrificial goats right now. And so these are the ones you're going to get. Now, going back to Alex Atkins real quick, one of the things that I just realized was that in Alex Atkins' contract, it has a termination for clause. And for cause, and anything that would be portrayed as an NCAA violation. Now, remember, Alex Atkins was suspended over the course of three games this year for an NCAA violation. Now, whether or not FSU tries to, you know, enforce his contract of that clause or not, could end up saving Florida State, you know, upwards of close to $4 million of his salary if they decide that. We don't know if they're going to do that or not, but I just want to make sure I put that out there. As it goes to Adam Fuller, listen, when your defense is 99th in the country, that's not the offense's fault. If your rush defense is 114th in the country, that's not the offense's fault. Your pass efficiency defense is 91st. Your scoring defense is 101. Your third down conversion defense is 119. Now, the only thing that you can hang your hat on is that you're 52nd in the country in red zone defense. But outside of that, it's a terrible defense. And that's not the offensive fault. Now, you may have been put in some bad positions this season by the offense, by Mike Norvell's play call. But your offense still looked confused half the time. Your offense still gave up. I mean, how many running touchdowns did Riley Leonard score last night? Is that the offensive's fault? No, that's your fault as a coordinator. So again, this outside of 2 years, your defense hasn't been very good. So to me, it makes sense that Adam Fuller would go. We need an elite level defensive coordinator who can recruit. We need to get Florida State back to the kind of defenses that hits hard, that is nasty, that, you know, third and long, you just know you can bank that 90% of the time they're not going to convert it. Whereas now we know 90% of the time they are going to convert third and long.
Right.
So it makes sense for Adam Fuller to be gone.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, the offense put him in a lot of bad positions. But I mean, like you've said, man, you still got to step up and make plays on defense. I know they're on the field a lot. I get all that. But the only time we've – and I've always said this about Adam Fuller. Like, he did put together two top 20 defenses the last 2 years. But, again, it was loaded with NFL-caliber guys that we're seeing do well in the NFL now. And so, I mean, again, like, look at what Braden Fisk, look at what Jared Verse is doing. Look at Jerrion Jones. Look at what all these guys are doing in the NFL right now. That's great, man. Everybody can do can have a good defense with that much talent. But you're not recruiting at a level high enough to be able to field a defense full of that talent every single year. There's just no reason for it to be this bad. And so that's why, again, I do think, just to kind of round this out, because I'm going to have to wrap it up pretty soon here, but Florida State does fire offensive coordinator, offensive line coach Alex Atkins, defensive coordinator Adam Fuller, and wide receivers coach Ron Dugans here. But again, like we've touched on before, I don't think this is going to be it. And I know some people, I've already seen some comments like, why is Randy still employed? Man, someone's got to call the defense.
Somebody's got to call the defense.
Right. You still have two games left. And he is the co-DC technically. He does also have experience as the DC. So you want to keep at least one person. And again, you know, look, we've really hammered Randy on recruiting for over the years. But I mean, he's not a terrible coach. Like, the linebackers have gotten better over the season. And gosh, they seem to be losing one every single week to injury. But again, I do think when that clock strikes zero after Florida, man, I think you're going to see more changes. I think you probably will see Odell step into retirement, hopefully he steps into some kind of role around this program, ambassador or something like that. I do think you will see Randy probably not be retained. I mean, unless we just like shut Florida out or something, but that offense is terrible. Right. So I think you're going to make a move there. And plus, you also have to think, man, like he was one of the highest paid coordinators in college football, making $2 million a year. And so you can get better for that amount of money. But like we said, man, I think with the $64 million price tag to fire Mike Norvell, I don't think that was realistic just because of all that Florida State has going on right now with the stadium renovations, suing the ACC, the football-only facility, all this type of stuff, plus the cost that it's going to incur to get rid of this staff and then bring in another staff, because you're not going to bring in just any Joe Blow off the street. You're going to want to bring in big-name coordinators. You're going to want to make some splash hires. And so I think they are going to go out and find somebody good because they know this can't happen again. This absolutely can't happen again. Or they are going to have to make, at that point, whatever it may be, a $40 to $50 million decision to fire Mike Norvell in a year or two. So, you know, again, this is something that we've been clamoring to see for a little while. I've never really been huge on in-season firings, like really early in the season. But I think at this point, with a bye week, only Charleston Southern and then Florida left, now is a really good time to do it because you can get it done before early signing day. You have a bye week to kind of let these guys work in. Like we said, you're not going to see – this team's not going to suddenly get better with two games left in the season because you fired people. It's just not going to happen. But I think you're setting up for 2025. I think you're getting ready for that. You're making the waves now, and you're letting people know that, you know, change will be made. Changes are going to happen. They are not going to sit idly by. Because, man, I mean, honestly, I ain't going to lie. Like, here, every single week, it's like, gosh, are we even going to fire anybody? Because, like, man, the clock is ticking. It's time to get going with these firings. And I think last night was just, man, an all-out, flat-out embarrassment against Notre Dame. So I definitely think it was time to make some moves, and now feels like a really good time to do it. As we get ready to have the 1-9 bowl coming up against Charleston Southern, you know, because I think this had to happen too, because, man, if they would have lost that game, if they lose that game, and it's still up in the air, man, I'm almost ready to fire Mike Norvell if they lose to Charleston Southern. But I think this tells you now that they're going to make some changes. So as we get ready to wrap up, because again, guys, remember, I do have a full-time job. I got to get ready to go to work here in about 10 minutes. So, Michael, give me some final thoughts as we get ready to wrap this up. I do want to say real quick, I appreciate everybody that's tuning in right now. This is breaking news. We had a few minutes to hop on. I wish we could go more in depth on it, but we just kind of had to jump on real quick. I had a couple nice comments said they love our show, so we do appreciate that. But, Michael, give me some final thoughts as we get ready to wrap this up. And let me touch on, for those just tuning in, we'll be back with some names once we start hearing some things. We just don't really have a whole lot of that right now. We mentioned the UNLV offensive coordinator, but as things progress, we'll try to come up with some names for you guys.
Yeah. Final thoughts are, yeah, I mean, again, like you, I'm not a big fan of in-season firing. I don't know what they really do, you know, unless you're super early and you just have a coordinator that's just like wacko and you have another guy that you know can actually, you know, the kids are listening to. Other than that, what's the point of it? Honestly, right. I didn't think we were going to hear another a firing until the end of the season. But now that it's happened, you, like I said, you saw the three. These are the three most frustrating positions on the field right now: an offensive coordinator, line coach Alex Atkins, defensive coordinator Adam Fuller, and wide receiver coach Ron Dugans. Like you said, Jesse, there's going to be more that comes. This is not the end. I highly imagine that Randy Shannon won't be back. I highly imagine that John Papuchas might need to be looking for a job. I highly imagine that Odell might go into retirement. I highly imagine that Tony Tokoras might be looking for a job as well, too. I kind of imagine Chris Thompson. I think David Johnson might be safe because really the running backs not been bad. They just haven't had a hole to run through, honestly. So I think there are a couple that might be safe, but if I'm any of these coaches, I might start getting my resume all looking good right now because there's a chance that he could clean the entire house. And again, for those of you who are calling for Mike Norvell, and I know I said on a previous episode, if he loses to Charleston Southern, he needs to be fired. I will say that he would need to be fired immediately if he loses to Charleston Southern. I don't think it's going to happen. There's 64 mm-hmm. million reasons why. So let's get our heads around, okay, what coordinators, what position coaches are they going to be bringing in that's going to help us at least have a decent to better season next year?
Yeah, and I think with one of the points that you make, I do think that because you saw these firings today, kind of tells you that they're not going to move on from Mike Norvell, right? I think if they knew they were going to fire Mike Norvell, you probably would have had conversations where like, look, man, don't bother because we're just you can all share an Uber out of Tallahassee because we're going to get rid of all of you. So I think because you see these, that tells you that Mike Norvell will be retained. And again, like you said, man, the last thing I want to say is like, I do think that it depends on who you have behind them on how early you make those firings. I mean, look at how terrible this offensive line was the first three games when Alex Atkins wasn't allowed to be on the sideline. So again, I don't think it's going to get any better because of what they did. And I don't think this is the end of the firings either. So we'll see, man. At least now you have something to talk about. Now you have something to look forward to. The names will start to float up. Chances are you're going to want someone from a good school. So you may not really start to get any concrete names after the season is over because you may be getting someone, you know, from like a smaller G5 school or maybe a Power 4 school that maybe isn't a playoff contender, but a good school. So we'll have to see as these names emerge as the season gets ready to close up here. But I don't think this is going to be it, man. I think you're going to see – like you said, I think Surtain is probably safe on the defensive side of things, although I will say that's probably in question now because anytime you bring in a new defensive coordinator, they're going to get their option. I mean, other than Odell, who's pretty much you've been told, like, look, you got to deal with it. You know, he's like furniture in the house. He ain't going anywhere. But I do think he will probably be pushed into a retirement role around the program in some other form or fashion. Surtain could go to Mississippi or Southern Miss, where he was in Southern Miss. That's where he played and they're looking for a head coach. So we will see how things go, man. We're going to keep our ear to the ground and keep you guys up to date on everything that we hear as they go throughout this process. You know, there's still two games left in the season. It is a bye week this week. Before we get out of here, Michael, just let me bring a quick word from today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU, because they're not getting fired because they're doing a great job. So Alumni Hall, 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, or shop online at alumnihall.com. Make sure that you use code SPEAR to get 10% off there as well. And also, I will say that Florida State did pick up two defensive line commits. And someone was like, well, they won't stick when we go 1-11. I'm like, well, they committed at 1-9. So I don't think it's going to make a huge
difference. I think that might be okay.
So you got them there. I will say on Papuchas, I think if you can find a way to keep him as your special teams coordinator, I think you really want to find a way to do that. But yeah, I don't know that he's going to be retained either because outside of a guy like Jared Verse or Jermaine Johnson, who really came in kind of what they were, Pat Payton has severely regressed. Byron Turner haven't gotten anything out of there. All these young guys, you just haven't, all these guys just haven't gotten anything from them. Right. So, I think this is the first of many. And so I'm just glad to see some changes be made, man, because it was after watching last night and then going into Sunday, they waited a long time on Sunday. But I'm sure they had to get back to Tallahassee and have those conversations.
Right.
But, you know, when you woke up on Sunday and you didn't see the news, it was kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
what are we doing? Forever. When are these changes going to be made? So, yeah, man, we appreciate everybody tuning in. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for watching. We just want to jump on and give you guys our instant reaction to offensive coordinator, O-line coach Alex Atkins being fired, along with DC Adam Fuller and wide receivers coach Ron Dugan. So changes are being made in Tallahassee, and we'll see, man. We've got a bye week to kind of get some things going for. Hopefully they get a second win in the season against Charleston Southern in the 1-9 bowl. So we'll see how it goes, man. But kind of exciting news in a bad season. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll catch you on the next one. Go Noles.
Go Noles.